Hello and welcome to the China Business Brief, a podcast by the China Britain Business Council, where we explain the latest news relevant to anyone working in or with the world's second largest economy. I'm Joe Cash, and in this episode, I'm joined by Dr. David Pillsbury, who until recently was Deputy Vice Chancellor at Coventry University, the UK's fourth largest recruiter of students from China, but has now taken up the post of Chief Development Officer with Oxford International, a CBBC member company that provides pathway programmes for Chinese and overseas students into UK universities. We're going to discuss the role of British educators, universities and academic institutions in the UK-China relationship. David, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Joe.
So I suppose the place to start with is, what are the ways and means through which UK universities are working with their counterparts in China?
So sophisticated universities will have a whole range of ways in which they engage with China and indeed partners in other overseas countries. It's rather sad that the university sector in the UK is characterised solely by its recruitment of overseas students. That's really important, and recruitment from China is absolutely crucial, but it's only a small part of what we do. As I say, sophisticated universities will be doing collaborative research with partners in China. They'll have a mobility exchange agreement. So Coventry, for instance, sent 10% of its 7,000 students that went out over each year to China. And it will be increasingly delivering its programmes in China if it's a forward-looking university. Coventry's got something like 1,200 students studying on its programmes in Greater China at the moment.
So these sophisticated universities, they're working across a broad range of areas, student exchange, sending academics over to participate in research programmes overseas. Why is it then, do you feel, that the political conversation taking place in the UK regarding education ties with China has ended up becoming so focused on the presence of Chinese students and whether Chinese universities are trying to get something from the UK that it might not be in the UK's national interests to give away, when it appears that there is so much good for the UK to get from developing links with China?
I think it is simply, Joe, because they are so visible and people like a simple story. Though the thing that is least difficult about our relationship with China is the presence of Chinese students here. I really fail to understand how you can argue against the positive benefits for those students, and indeed for us, of having them come to the UK to experience our way of life. And I'm not naive enough to think that that's necessarily going to change their views, but that can only be a good thing, to have young Chinese people here seeing how we are tolerant and work with one another, the diversity of the UK. How can that be a bad thing?
I mean, I suppose I would agree with you, but another notion that seems to have cropped up in the press and analysis of China's education sector recently is that, in addition to business in academic circles, China is trying to decouple itself. What's your view on the recent reforms in China to ban foreign textbooks in primary and junior schools and the reported decision in Shanghai to stop assessing English proficiency at the primary level? Is this indicative of academic decoupling, or would you say that it's business as usual and that ties between the UK and China in higher education remain strong?
I don't see any evidence of academic decoupling either on the Chinese side or on the UK side. Clearly, China now has a very large domestic market that it wants to develop as part of creating a balanced economy. And that's one that they will see is essential to creating the higher value jobs that will provide the economic and social underpinning for the development of China in the future. I think the new education law was driven more by the well-known desire of the Chinese government to make higher education available to as many people as possible. They were concerned about the costs of tutoring and English language provision, and especially as they're now looking at some major demographic changes. With the high cost already of bringing up one child, they were keen to address some of the barriers to Chinese families having multiple children, and the cost of schooling was one of them. I think we have overinterpreted a rather simple Chinese policy made in the interests they saw legitimately of Chinese people.
So considering that there is still this appetite amongst Chinese students to engage with the West, to say study English, to consider studying overseas, what advice would you have for a university looking to step up its engagement with China and attract more Chinese students?
Okay, well, the first thing I would say is that you should be establishing a strategy for your engagement with China in the same way that you should have an international strategy that defines your engagement globally. Then you need to look at what your new unique features are. So China is actually now a very competitive market. Over three quarters of the students that come to the UK go straight into the Russell Group universities. So if you're not one of those, you need to think very hard about what your USP is. You need to look at geography. So this is a massive and diverse country. You know, the East Coast, where most people land, you know, we all step off. I've had that moment of stepping off a plane in Shanghai, Pudong. It's very wealthy, very outward looking, but it's also where the competition is greatest, but also as a political capital. So if you're not a top class university, you'd be better off focusing on other areas, say central or western China, and the third and fourth tier cities, which are still massive. So there's also a clear policy framework in China that identifies the areas where they're looking to build capacity. We know about artificial intelligence, environmental science, advanced manufacturing. And because a lot of modern universities have vocationally orientated but still high class degrees, that will open up opportunities for collaboration. Talent development, as we've discussed in CBBC, is a big strategic imperative for the Chinese and a great opportunity for some shared engagement with the UK. The other big push is actually delivery of UK programmes in China, what we call transnational education. And it may be that that's a bit of focus. I mentioned earlier that Coventry's got a lot of programmes in China and indeed are about to get a joint campus approved in Hainan, which will grow to around 12,000. So that's going to be a major development. So for Russell Group universities, you know, maybe a better place to start is with collaborative research, as we talked about earlier. China has shot up the rankings through its investment in research infrastructure, and it's got some really fantastic facilities now, as well as great people. And we know that collaboratively authored research has higher rankings. And of course, if you're undertaking that research, that opens up opportunities for engagement with industrial partners. And we all know about the challenges of working with Huawei politically, but you know, there are many other opportunities. When I was in Coventry, we worked closely with Geely, the China's largest automotive company, and that was very, very successful. And it may be also that people want to focus on those higher education development zones that have been identified. I mentioned earlier Hainan, where we're expecting the Coventry campus to be approved, but Tianjin is another area, Guangdong as part of the Greater Bay Area, and Sichuan as the Chinese government tries to promote higher education as a force for economic development in Southwest China. So all of those define some of the key strategic parameters.
So it sounds like there is such broad scope for UK universities to partner with their Chinese counterparts. We focus a lot on Chinese students and student exchange. One further question, turning our attention towards research and development and the role that universities play as centres of innovation, what would you say to those who remark that Chinese investment into UK R&D presents as a risk to our national security and that we should no longer seek to develop such ties with Chinese universities, Chinese state-owned enterprises that are looking to invest in the UK because of its research excellence?
The first thing I would say is that sadly, higher education has rather conspired in this narrative that sees universities cast as overpaid and naive parts of the civil society. We're neither. And I think it would be unsurprising for your listeners to hear that the universities, the leading universities that are taking part in this really cutting edge approach, have really good measures in place to protect our intellectual property. That doesn't mean that it doesn't ever get lost, but then people sometimes leave documents at bus stops. Yeah, everybody has their occasional failures, but there is also a new function within DIT that helps universities to ensure that intellectual property is safeguarded. So neither we nor the government are doing nothing. And you know, this is not a zero-sum game. Yeah? The more people apply their brains to addressing the challenges that we face, the more likely it is that we'll reach a solution. And I don't think that is naive. That's a simple statement of fact. And you know, there are shared issues like climate change and health and environmental sciences that mean that we do need to work with China, and we need to do so in a way that is sensible and considered, not naive, absolutely. And maybe the hysteria of the Cameron Osborne era was overdone, but we need now not to have some sort of pendulum swing and cast China as some sort of greater North Korea. That's not going to be in anybody's interest.
I think one of the problems certainly is that people are receiving their information about the role of China in the UK's higher education sector from snapshots of news that present a very fractured image. Universities are, of course, continuing to work with China despite the disruption of COVID, despite questions about national security, because, of course, they have these frameworks in place. David, thanks for coming on the podcast. This has been a really helpful, comprehensive overview of this broader debate around the role of UK education institutes in China.
Thank you, Joe. Been a pleasure.
And thank you for listening. And we'll see you again in 2 weeks' time for another episode of the China Business Brief. Goodbye. China Business Brief is a podcast brought to you by the China Britain Business Council. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you're subscribed. To find out more about our other events and activities, do check out our website at www.cbbc.org.